Welcome to Move Well to Live Well, a podcast where we discuss all things health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Belle Moody, a physical therapist specializing in pelvic health. This podcast is here for you to help educate, motivate, and elevate your life. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Move Well to Live Well podcast. My name is Belle. I will be your host. Today, we're continuing on our wellness supplement series, and I'm talking about morning drinks. Now, these don't have to be morning drinks, but I typically think of these as something like you would wake up with, or, you know, I've heard of people saying that they drink these in the morning. And so the things I'm going to go through are lemon water, apple cider vinegar, mushroom coffee, traditional coffee, and matcha. And I found out just really interesting things when researching for this. So I'm excited to share with you. I think that you will take away, you'll learn something that you didn't know before, and then maybe you might even incorporate something different into your routine or mix it up, and it might make sense why maybe you feel a certain way with some of these beverages if you're drinking them in the morning. You know, maybe even, what's the word, dispel some of the hype around certain ones. So stay tuned. I would like to give my disclaimer that I try to remember to give every single time is that supplements like these, you cannot focus on supplements first in your wellness routine, because if the rest of your things, the rest of your really, really basic things, sleep, hydration, nutrition, exercise, and stress are out of control, and I'm holding my hand up over my head, like you're up here all the time and in lots of discomfort, not feeling good, but because of all those things are out of whack, and then you're trying to put a supplement at it, some lemon water in the morning, it's not going to be able to bring you down back to a balanced position. So, anyway, if you'll go back to the very first wellness supplements episode about cold plunging, I go into more of this, or you can just go to our website and look at our blog to that blog post, because I go into a lot of detail of like the things that you need to be doing to give yourself a really good clean slate, and then you can start adding supplements after that. And I'm not saying you necessarily have to do it in that order, but it's just, you can't, what's the word? The supplement is just not going to do the trick. We can't just like wholly believe that, okay, if I get this, this is going to, if I'm taking my magnesium, or if I'm, you know, drinking this beverage in the morning, that's what I've been missing. Or this AG1 that, I should have looked into that for today. I'll talk about it another day, but you know, whatever it might be. So without further ado, let us begin. So I'm starting with lemon water. And what I first found out about it, it is so basic. It is as, you can make this as like, I guess, pure as you want. Like you can get a lemon and hand squeeze it. Every time you make this, you can get purified water. You can get spring water. Like, however, you know exactly what it is you're taking in with lemon water, because it is water and lemon. And so this, the first thing I found out about it, and this is about, or looking at one full squeezed lemon into water, is that it is a really, really great source of vitamin C. It's 21% of your recommended daily amount. And that's pretty significant, to be almost a quarter of what you get from just one lemon. And so with knowing that, the vitamin C has all of these protective factors, anti-inflammatory factors, great for the immune system. It also, vitamin C helps you to absorb iron better. Johnette told me this recently, because I am anemic, and I So anyway, I've been trying to get lots of vitamin C ever since then. And so that's great too. So you're getting the benefits of the vitamin C, but then also it will help you your blood function better as well. Another thing is lemon water is high in citric acid, which can help prevent kidney stones. So obviously, let me just pause and say this. This is not medical advice. So if you're hearing this and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm anemic, I just need lemon water, or I have frequent kidney stones, this is what I need to be doing, I'm going to stop. Make sure to consult with your doctor with these beverages and figure out what, you know, they recommend. So it's high in citric acid, which can help prevent kidney stones. And then it also has been, through research, can potentially help with your overall digestion. It helps. I remember the main thing I read is that it helps you to be more hydrated. And I didn't look too much into it. I think it has something to do with how your body is uptaking fluid with the acid content, but I'm not positive. But anyway, so it may help digestion. I did find two things that it said to just be kind of aware of, is that it could increase heartburn for some people, and it also could be hard on the enamel of your teeth when done in long and large amounts of, you know, ingesting. And that is just kind of, honestly, all of these drinks that I'm going over today are on the higher acid side, and that's something that you should consider with pretty much all of these from a tooth health standpoint, the enamel. And, anything with higher acid content. So that's lemon water. That's pretty much it. It's got, I see no harm in it, other than just being careful not to do it a ton, and rinse your mouth after having it, with some water to protect your teeth. But, I think it's a great thing to do and incorporate. Once again, it is not a fix-all for a lot of stuff, or it's not a fix-all at all, but could be a great thing to help switch your, you know, add into your routine. If you typically are drinking a lot of caffeine in the morning, this could be a great alternative, maybe most of the time, maybe all of the time. So yeah, lemon water. Next, apple cider vinegar. I have heard, and I have done this before, of doing apple cider vinegar and lemon water, because the lemon kind of takes some of the taste out of the apple cider vinegar, so I'll mix it in with some water. But apple cider vinegar on its own is really high in, or a good source of potassium, magnesium, and calcium, so that's great. And then there are some benefits that it is associated with. Research is still limited on apple cider vinegar's benefits, but this is what it has been associated with, is a decrease, can help decrease blood sugar, can help decrease cholesterol, decrease blood pressure. And so kind of, if you think about that, blood sugar, cholesterol, blood pressure, those are all metabolic situations, and so maybe it has an effect on the metabolic system. Once again, a lot of things I read about it, it was from a research standpoint, is that they're unsure of how it works exactly. And how it's lowering blood pressure, how it's lowering cholesterol, blood sugar, those type of things. There was one study it talked about specifically, and it was a smaller sample size, so keep that in mind as well. But there were two other things. Oh, it has been associated with helping acid reflux, which I find this very interesting, because this is not the first time I've seen that. You would think that with acid, like kind of going back to the lemon water, that it might be associated with making heartburn worse. But I've heard that that apple cider vinegar helps make heartburn better. So I don't know. I don't know the mechanism behind that, but I find that very interesting. And then lastly is that it can help with eczema or chronic skin inflammatory conditions. Apple cider vinegar is associated with anti-inflammatory effects. And so then that kind of goes back to, or then that's how it makes sense to me about it helping with eczema symptoms or just eczema in general. I will say personally, I've used apple cider vinegar for years on my scalp. My mom recommended it to me years and years ago when I was in high school. I just had a terrible, terrible scalp. I have lots with having celiac disease. There's a lot of skin kind of conditions that go along with it that you have to be aware of and, you know, can potentially experience. And so apple cider vinegar has always helped me. I had a terrible, terrible I had perioral dermatitis when I was in college. You can ask my friends or anyone who was close with me at that time. It was absolutely horrendous. It looked terrible. I couldn't cover it up with anything. It burned. Oh my gosh. And so they actually recommended to me, I was put on antibiotics for a long time, and it just progressively got worse with the antibiotics, so I stopped taking them. But they had recommended this, like, vinegar, what was it? I don't know how you would call it. I keep wanting to say tincture, but that's not right. Oh my gosh, that's gonna bother me. Anyway, I would mix vinegar and water half and half, and then let like a rag soak in that mixture, and then put the rag over my face and just sit there for 10 minutes and let it kind of just very gently rest on my burning raw skin on my face. And it went away. It took, I would say, probably doing the vinegar why can I not remember what that was called? That's going to drive me crazy. Doing that, I would say I had been on antibiotics for at least 2 months. And then when I really started doing the vinegar consistently, it was maybe like 2 weeks and it got so much better. And then I also had started, I switched out so much of my stuff, like my shampoo, the things I washed. Moose, no sir. Get down. I switched out my like detergents and my shampoos and all of that kind of stuff that can that's inflammatory to the body, with parabens and phthalates and sulfates and all of that, because they're thinking that perioral dermatitis is caused by those chemicals, long-term use of them. And so anyway, that was way off topic, but I firmly believe in the power of vinegar. And so I've used apple cider vinegar on my scalp, and it always helps. It does not fully like rid me of my scalp problems ever, and neither does plain vinegar, but it did fully resolve my perioral dermatitis flare up. And that's another thing, is it kind of will come back in moments of like high stress, or the dermatitis will, or if I've been exposed to chemicals, fragrances, whatever might be, it will come back and get worse. But never to the point that it was that one time. And so I'll just do the exact same thing. Vinegar and try and lower my stress level, my inflammation level. So, and then usually it gets better. Oddly enough, it got so much better. Like almost to the point where I wasn't having any flare-ups, no more symptoms of the dermatitis when I got my IUD removed and I was no longer on birth control. And then throughout my whole pregnancy, I haven't had any flare-ups of that at all. I've had acne, which is like out of the blue for me, because I never had acne. I just had like rashes, like the dermatitis or eczema. So I don't know where I was going with that. What was I talking about? Vinegar. But it has always helped me. And yeah, I really like it for a variety of different things. So apple cider vinegar could be a great addition to your routine in the morning or whenever you want to. You could do like a little shot of it or mix it in with your lemon water like I've done before. But yeah, good stuff there. Okay, next, moving into mushroom coffee. I've heard of multiple people who have like switched over to mushroom coffee, and this is that's what they drink, and there are certainly multiple benefits from it. However, I'll share some of I guess more of the negative surrounding mushroom coffee. So a lot of the times it is mixed in with actual coffee, the kind that you will buy. So it's not just mushrooms itself. It is mixed with traditional coffee beans and has like a coffee bean flavor. But even so, because of that, it has a significantly lower caffeine level than traditional coffee. Mushrooms have been associated with lots of benefits: lowering anxiety, lowering inflammation, improving energy, all kinds of different things. And so what I read was that in the mushroom coffee production process, you're losing a lot of the goodness that is associated with mushrooms themselves. And so, anyway, overall, what I found out is that if you're wanting those, if you're drinking mushroom coffee for the benefits of it, you might as well just be eating whole mushrooms themselves, in meals, as, you know, cooked in that way versus converted to the coffee process like it is. And I've also heard that it's pretty expensive, so I don't know, just keep that in mind. You're still going to get some of the nutrients, the benefits from it. I'm not saying that you won't get anything from it, but yeah, that's kind of what I found. Another thing, two things that I found more kind of on the negative side, is that if you have digestive problems, mushroom coffee can sometimes be an irritant to that. And then if you have kidney problems, mushroom coffee can have a really high, I think, oxalate level. And so then, and oxalates can cause kidney problems. So, anyway, that's also just another consideration. Kind of weigh your pros and cons. If you love mushroom coffee, that's awesome. I've never had it, so I don't know what it tastes like. But if you love it and you're not having any digestive problems, and you feel like it's benefiting you, then that's great. So yeah, and keep in mind that a lot of them are mixed with actual coffee beans. So check, you know, the caffeine levels. And if you're trying to fully get away from coffee beans, just read your ingredients, your labels, and that type of thing. Next, I wanted to talk about coffee itself, traditional coffee beans. This is my beverage of choice in the morning. When I was first trimester pregnant, holy cow, I could not stomach the smell of coffee, which is so crazy because for years I've had one cup in the morning and one cup in the afternoon usually. I'm not being completely truthful. For years, I would have like probably one to two, if not two to three cups, like throughout the morning, and then have another cup in the afternoon. Like one of my favorite things to drink ever. I just love, 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 love coffee. I go through phases where I like to just have it black, and then others where I like this particular creamer or whatever. And, yeah, but first trimester, I could not, it would make me gag. Like, Will making coffee in the morning and me smelling it, oh my gosh, it was just, and then I was so sad because it was so like ritualistic for me. It's kind of like I do this first and then I get my day going and everything else follows. So that was kind of hard. But now I've been, once I got into my second trimester, I started back and was able to have my cup like normal. And then, oh gosh, what was I gonna say? Oh, but I do drink much less of it. Like, it doesn't have the same flavor to me right now as it normally does. Also, no one come after me or the pregnancy police of me having caffeine while pregnant. But I am following the guidelines. You can have caffeine while you're pregnant. You just don't need to have over a certain amount. And I don't have over that certain amount. So everybody just calm down. Nobody's upset, but I'm sure, like, I see, gosh, people are so mean. I'll get on TikTok or Instagram and look at the comments. Like, it'll be a, you know, maybe a pregnant lady holding a cup of coffee or doing something that's, like, seemingly so innocent, and people are just coming after her. Or it doesn't even have to be that. It can be anything. Like, people just, man, are mean, so mean, and always have an opinion. So, now, coffee itself, I did a previous blog post and podcast episode about the benefits and negative pros and cons of coffee. And the coffee bean, okay, all of the cons of coffee are associated with large caffeine intake or high caffeine intake with coffee. And so, just like with anything, have it in moderation. And, well, not everything is okay in moderation, but most everything is fine in moderation. And so anyway, y'all, I cannot, my brain, it feels like it's, I can't even describe what it's like right now. It's like it's not processing fully. Oh my gosh, what was I gonna say? All of the negatives with coffee are associated with too much caffeine intake, or the caffeine that's in coffee. Coffee itself, minus the caffeine, has significant health benefits. It's great for the heart. It is great for the brain. It is just all around. I remember when I was researching for that particular episode, and you can go back and listen to it too if you want, but I just remember being like, man, there is such good stuff that comes from coffee. But you just have to make sure that you're not overdoing it and taking in this too much coffee that has too much caffeine. So that's that. Coffee. But beware of the negatives of caffeine, the jitteriness, the anxiety that can come with it, all of the things with too much caffeine. It can also, if you're having like 300 milligrams or more of caffeine a day, it can have an effect on your heart, can cause arrhythmias. And so I think that's how much. I think, anyway, you might want to fact check me on that, but I think it's more than 300 milligrams. It might even be less than that. I don't know, but yeah, it can be bad for the heart. Okay, last morning drink, and this one has the most benefits proven by research, as well as the least amount of cons. I don't know that I found any cons of it, but matcha, which is a form of green tea. It is a powdered version of green tea from the green tea leaves, and it is full of antioxidants. It is associated with liver benefits. It boosts brain health. It potentially prevents cancer. That kind of goes back to the antioxidants, because that's their job, is they can eliminate, antioxidants can eliminate free radicals that then cause cancer. And then it can also improve your heart health. Green tea does have caffeine, but I think, believe, significantly lower than coffee. But still, you want to monitor the caffeine levels, especially if it's having a physical effect on you, if it's making you anxious, if it's keeping you up, like that type of thing. And another thing, I kind of want to go back to coffee and caffeine, or just caffeine and beverages in general. Your body cannot process that as well on an empty stomach. And so eating a really like nourishing, full, satiating breakfast before you're ingesting caffeine is going to stabilize your blood sugar, which will then help you with the caffeine metabolism and other things. So you'll feel more stable that way rather than just going straight for the coffee first thing in the morning. And that is, I know Johnette has been doing this. I started doing this before I got pregnant. I would delay my coffee intake for like an hour or two after I woke up. And I felt that it really helped me be more like, I guess, energized and motivated throughout the day and get things done. So, yeah. And not only would I delay it like an hour or two after waking up, but I would eat a full protein meal as soon as I woke up. So, yeah. So matcha, back to matcha. It has so much good stuff. And, yeah, very little negatives. So, and I feel like it's pretty affordable. I'm sure you could get some really expensive matcha from wherever, but, I feel like it's an affordable option to have and use. Now, I don't know. I think I've tasted matcha before, but I couldn't tell you what it tastes like because I have not had it I haven't had it in a really long time, and definitely not on a regular basis. So, I bought some and put it into a glass jar from the original package it was still a little bit damp from me washing, and it messed up the whole thing. Anyway, so overall, they all have different things. So I think from a supplement standpoint, like rotating these in and out is a great idea. You get the antioxidants some days from matcha. You get the benefits from coffee some days. Mushroom coffee, you're getting some of the vitamins and nutrients from the mushrooms, the apple cider vinegar. Like, I'm telling you, just rotate these out and stay really balanced with everything, and you'd probably see lots of good stuff from it. But I'm a creature of habit. I love to have my beverage, and I like it to be. I think lots of people are just creatures of habit. Like, they don't once they get into something. But yeah, it'd be great to mix these up so you're getting the variety of different benefits while also not like overloading your system. So, okay, that is all for me this week, and I will talk to y'all next week.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can meet us and work out with us in person at the Studio Bar and Wellness located in Starkville and Louisville, Mississippi, or move with us online at www.thestudiobarandwellness.com on Studio Stream. Our goal is that you move well to live well.